This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 19th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net and are also linked from the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site and through iTunes. The epistle reading is Ephesians 4:17-32, one of the longer readings in the Book of Common Prayer, in which we hear from St. Paul a homily on several Christian virtues, on a shedding of the old man and a putting on of the new. St. Paul noted the lack of the same among other Gentiles. St. Paul is writing, as he often did, about mastering one's passions, or in modern terms, lusts, whether that is lust for sex outside marriage, which he calls lasciviousness, lust for the possessions of others, which results in stealing, and also mastering passions by controlling one's temper, the meaning of the phrase he used, anger and wrath, by controlling one's tongue and not speaking, quote, corrupt communication, unquote, and instead turning one's efforts to things that are what St. Paul called edifying, and finally advice not to lie. And also he counsels the Ephesians to forgive others for their transgressions, real or perceived, as God has forgiven them through Christ. Each of these forms of corruption or passions are, as he noted, the result of a failure to let God's Holy Spirit reside in the heart. The Gospel reading is Matthew 9:1-8, the second of three episodes for the closing days of Trinity season from the Gospel of St. Matthew. For this reading, we go back in time to 27 AD, not long after Jesus left Nazareth to begin his ministry in the Galilee. The location is not named in St. Matthew's account, but Eastern Church scholars, based on Matthew 4:13 and Mark 2:1, believe that the phrase "his own city" means Capernaum, on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, the home of many Jews in a predominantly Gentile region. This reading includes a unique observation spoken by Jesus, who, when told of a crowd approaching, bearing a paralytic man, probably a young man, since Jesus called him son, whom they believed he could heal, and St. Matthew wrote, quote, Jesus saw their faith. This means the faith of those who bore the man toward Jesus and not the faith of the man himself, who was brought before Jesus and set at his feet on some kind of portable bed or litter. Some context might be helpful here. Hebrews of that day generally believed that illness was the result of sin. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, you'll recall they assumed that the injured man was unclean and therefore untouchable. Jesus bowed to Hebrew tradition and at the same time offered his divine intervention, saying to the man, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." Upon hearing this news, the Hebrew scribes, that is, record keepers associated with the Pharisees, out of Jesus' hearing, or as St. Matthew put it, said within themselves, accused Jesus of being a blasphemer. St. Matthew reports that, quote, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk?" St. Matthew does not tell us, but I think we can assume there followed a period of astonished silence, which allowed Jesus to continue, speaking first to the scribes, saying, "That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," and then, only then, speaking to the paralytic man, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." St. Matthew used one of his favorite words, marveled, which he used 7 times in his gospel, telling us that at these events even the scribes marveled in reaction to such a demonstration of divine power. St. Matthew also says that they gave glory to the God who had given such power. But there is one other aspect of this story that often goes unremarked, especially in the teachings of the Western Church. At the beginning of the story, Matthew tells us that Jesus, quote, saw their faith, as I noted, meaning the faith of those who brought the man to Jesus' feet. He never mentions anything about what the paralytic man thought or believed. That Jesus offered the man forgiveness of his sins and healed him of his illness, owing to the faith in Jesus' power by those who brought him before Jesus, is the strongest evidence in the Gospels of the power of faith communities. Christian tradition remains steadfast in the belief that such faith must be nurtured in the communities that are the church itself through regular attendance and involvement. It is an illustration of the power of faith. The first of 2 closing prayers is one I adapted from a prayer by our namesake and patron, St. John Chrysostom. The second is the Collect for the 19th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary as it was used in the Church in England before the separation from Rome. May the God of peace and love, having banished from our soul all wrath and bitterness and anger, deign to grant that we, being closely knit to one another, may with one accord, one mouth, and one soul, continually offer up our hymns of thanksgiving due to Him, for to Him be glory and power, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. O God, forasmuch as without Thee we are not able to please Thee, mercifully grant that Thy Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.